overall, what was your assessment and Della's assessment of how the Norman Rockwell exhibit went as far as attendance-wise and everything else?
Well, American Chronicles, the Art of Norman Rockwell, we feel was a huge success on several layers. We were very pleased with the attendance and the hype and the chat in the community, I think in many ways was more important to us. I'll use the analogy that I was getting my car repaired and I had to get a cab to go into the Taubman for an early morning appointment. And the cab driver had taken his dad to see Norman Rockwell, and he was so jazzed and excited about the exhibition. He wanted to know what was coming up next and was starting to make plans. So that exhibition gave us the opportunity to reach a community that we've never been able to work with before. And I think that's absolutely incredibly successful for us to be able to do that.
Well, you know, when cab drivers are going to art museums, that something good is happening.
I think so. I think so. But that was one of many stories. We all heard these anecdotal stories. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I got stopped in the grocery store by people, families saying it was a life changing for them, or it was a wonderful bonding experience for their families. So we are just absolutely, we're delighted with that.
Right, let's talk about the new exhibition, which just opened, Legacies Honoring Artistic Luminaries from Southwestern Virginia. This is on exhibit now through January 28th. Now, there is no charge for this, even though it's in the Special Exhibitions Gallery. You curated it. And talk about the theme for this and how it came together.
Well, I actually inherited this theme from an adjunct curator, Ray Cass, who was working with the museum before I arrived. And initially, there was plans to focus on four artists that had passed on but helped shape our community. So I and worked with stakeholders in the community to build a list, and we expanded it to 20 artists. And these are artists that have passed on but have really helped shape the bedrock that we call Southwestern Virginia now. So focused on artists from Roanoke, Salem, Fincastle, all the way to Blacksburg. The criteria was these artists, sadly, of course, have left us.
They had to be dead.
Right. they had to have an exhibition track record outside the footprint of Roanoke. And or a lot of them were illustrators, you know, for example, having their work in major national magazines. And they also, most importantly, had to give back to the community in one way or another. They were either a teacher or a mentor, helped establish an arts organization. And so those were the criteria to help us build that list.
We're talking with Amy Moorfield, Deputy Director of Exhibitions and Collections at the Taubman Museum, about the new Legacies exhibition. A lot of people recognize Harriet Stokes, a big force behind Art in the Alley in Salem. Walter Biggs, who was artist in residence, Roanoke College, and Dorothy Gillespie, who passed away not too long ago. And she's a sculptor. She had exhibitions worldwide.
She did, worldwide. And yes, I think it's a lovely blend of both women, male and female artists. We also have the work of Dean Carter, who was a Blacksburg-based sculptor. He worked in brass and wood and marble, and he helped establish the School of Fine Arts at Virginia Tech, for example. We have a couple married couples. We have Jim Yates and Lynn Yates Gahuli. Both of them actually worked in some capacity at the Art Museum of Western Virginia, which was known as the Roanoke Art Center before being the Taubman. They both had prolific art careers. Also, George and Inga Solanovich. We actually have the two of them together as well. George was a very renowned illustrator and painter. His wife, Inga, had several commissions around the internationally. And, you know, what I found is interesting is, and what attracted me to this community at the very beginning, is there's so many artists in this community. I don't know if it's a landscape that does it, or maybe it's an affordable cost of living, but I think really the collaborative experiences that artists share with each other really make a huge difference. And it started back then, of course, even probably earlier than these artists were working and living in our community.
Do you think people that come to the Legacies exhibition, Amy, maybe will come away for maybe a greater appreciation of local and regional artists?
I really hope so, because I think it's very important for us as an institution to honor our own and focus on artists not only from far, far away, but also those that live in our community and give back. The exhibition is quite extensive. It's over 111 works, and it ranges from everything from paintings and drawings and watercolors to sculpture and glass sculpture and metal sculpture, for example, from Dorothy Gillespie.
And these came from what, private collections, other museums, or?
It came from other institutions. It came from the families and collectors. And we really worked hard with the families. And they even contributed photographs. So each of the artist sections actually have a bio, talks about their achievements and their legacy, and has a wonderful portrait of them as well. I hope you all come out. The exhibition will be on view for a while. And it is, of course, admission free.
Okay, before we let you go, I want to ask you about a couple other things that are starting in the next month. One of them is Fantasy Shoes, September 3rd through the 31st. This is from the Jane Garshon Weitzman Collection. Mm-hmm. Talk about this. And this really was inspired from people that design shoes.
Correct. So Jane Weitzman and her husband, Stuart Weitzman, created a worldwide shoe brand called Stuart Weitzman in New York. And Jane, who ran the marketing arm of the business, started working with artists. She'd go to arts and crafts fairs around the country when she traveled, and she started engaging artists to create fantasy shoes, art shoes, for the shoe displays or the windows displays of their various stores. Now, these aren't functional shoes, but they're wonderful and wacky. They're embellished with rhinestones and sequins, and they're made with wire and paper and corrugated cardboard. And they're absolutely stunning and fun and really kind of make you think about, well, how could you construct a shoe? Can you make one out of glass or actually live flowers?
So I'm thinking people that like the handbag collection are probably going to like this too.
Well, actually, we hope so as well. The galleries are actually side by side of each other. So Judith Lieber, you go see her beautiful, wonderful handbags, and go right next door and visit our fantastic fantasy shoes.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about was the Amazing World of the Reverend Howard Finster, September 17th through February 5th. Talk about this exhibition.
So Howard Finster, it's his 100th birthday year. And of course, he has passed on. I'm working with Brian Sievaking, an adjunct curator we work with for Outsider and Folk Art. And it really is meant to be a comprehensive focus on his achievements throughout his life. Now, he had a vision and believed that it was his job to help save the world through art. So he created over 40,000 works of art. He also created a beautiful outdoor sculpture area called Paradise Garden outside of Atlanta. And our hope is, you know, of course, to focus on that. But he also was very popular in terms of culture. He did all the album covers, a lot of them for Talking Heads and R.E.M.
Well, that's but he's okay in my book.
He was on the Johnny Carson Show and many others. And he was just this huge persona and really had a distinctive vision to help save our souls.
Before I let you go, might as well talk about this follicular, the hair stories of Sonia Clark coming up, I guess, in October.
Yes.
And also the talk she's going to give.
So Sonia Clark focuses on African-American hair, and we're delighted to work with her. And this exhibition showcases her artwork. For example, she works with barbershop combs, where she picks the tines out to create very large wall installations that, for example, one is a portrait of Madam C.J. Walker, the first African-American bank president, for example. She also is working with hairstylists, and they create her own compositions on the artist's head. So we'll be doing a live performance about that. But really, we're drilling down into what does it mean in terms of the material we grow out of our head, and particularly through the black lens in terms of, you know, hairstyling and embellishment and adornment.
So really, a few of these upcoming exhibits, Amy, you know, the hair stories and also the fantasy shoes, it sort of makes people think maybe a little bit more about what is art.
I hope so. We really want to focus on a universal pie. I like to call the exhibition program kind of a holistic pie, and we really want a very diverse look. We have everything from outsider art to fantasy shoes to honoring our regional wonderful luminaries, and then working with the art of hair. Diversity, I think, of us for material and the artists that we focus on. We want you to come into the museum. We have 11 galleries, and find something that you can get jazzed about.
All right. Amy Moorfield is the Deputy Director of Exhibitions and Collections at the Taubman Museum of Art. And Amy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Gene.